up, everybody? Welcome back to yet another edition of Football on Full Heel. This is episode 39. Somehow, I forgot to mention it, but we've been doing this for just about a year now, so happy anniversary, boys. And by the boys, I mean me. My name is Frankie. Welcome back. We've got Johnny right here to my left.
Yep.
Rafa even farther to my left. The founder slash owner slash operator of the Full Heel Network. And then we got Andres on the Skype.
Yo.
Via the internets. But yeah, thank you guys for joining us now, forever, whenever in the past. 39 episodes now. Can't believe it. It's been awesome. Thanks for checking in whenever. If you haven't, subscribe to the Full Heel Network. Give us a like and let us know. We've got the chat open here while we're doing live, and let us know what you think, who your favorite teams are, who your favorite players are, who you think is hot, who you think is not. On today's episode, we'll be discussing Champions League more than anything else, but also just kind of taking a look at who's hot and who's not around Europe and all the big leagues. Yep. Because we have an international break after this weekend. There's no club soccer until Thanksgiving week. I don't know why they're still playing international matches. Well, I know why, because there's a lot of tournaments to qualify for, like the World Cup and Europa, not Europa. I'm sorry. Euro and World Cup qualifying more than anything, but COVID's still going crazy. So
Nevada's still counting.
Nevada's still counting, of course. I guess we'll get right into it. Europa League was today. Not really going to talk about it too much, other than some of the big teams won. Spurs won, Arsenal won, right? Andres, Arsenal was excited that some kid named Joe Willock had a good performance for Arsenal.
Who?
Yeah.
Andres?
Yeah, he said yeah.
Today?
They had Joe Willock. They kind of have like a B squad for the Europa team, but I mean, they're a young squad, so it's good to see them, you know, scoring some goals.
But I want to flip it around today, actually. We kind of start with who's hot, because that's kind of how the little phrase goes, right? Who's hot, who's not. But I want to start with who's not. We're going to start with who's not. I don't know if that's a sound effect for not, though. Where's the other one? You know what I'm talking about, the who's not. There we go. Who's not. The womp womp. Manchester United. The big reason why, those of you guys who will watch the thumbnail or who'll see the thumbnail later,
straight to it.
Our thumbnail picture is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because I think he's on the hot seat, boys. I don't know. Johnny really thinks so, but Manchester United is not hot. Paul Pogba is not hot. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is not hot. They just lost 1-0 in the league to Arsenal, off a PK. Pogba, of course, gave up a clumsy penalty in that match. And then they proceeded to lose to Istanbul in the Champions League. Istanbul, of course, making their debut in the Champions League. And it was pretty funny because Rafael, you guys remember Rafael da Silva, the little right back? He plays for Istanbul now. And participated in defeating his former team. Things not looking good there at Manchester
United.
Didn't
Skrtel also score?
Did he? Martin Skrtel? Skrtel was still playing soccer.
I think he gave up the penalty or something.
They won. They got the win. Martin Skrtel did.
Well, yeah, Manchester United coming off consecutive losses now and just unconvincing performances for at the very least the last week. What do you guys have to say? What do you make of it, Johnny? I know you got a lot to say about United.
I don't know, because the thing about that I was saying a week ago was that he had struck a balance, and it seems like that was all but a lie, because it just nothing's working. How we're saying they're not hot. You would think after beating PSG they could get momentum, and the whole theme of Ole's like time at United has been inconsistency, kind of, you know. And what happened that game, really, to just summarize it, is Man U only plays counter-attacking style. So when they have to kind of possess the ball and play against a team, they lack creativity and ideas. And that's something that is directly influenced by old, not using the players to their potential and just making them be more protagonists, you know, I think. And because Man U is a team that requires a coach, and I've been seeing mad Pochettino interviews lately. He's just all over here coming up like he's on his heels right now. And Pogba, I don't know, you need to bench him. And then Van de Beek, like, why they buy him? And it's just like, I don't know. There's a lot of questions with Man U, but
Cavani still hasn't really played a part yet. What do you think, Andres?
Is
Solskjaer on the hot seat? Pochettino waiting in the wings, like, is rumored?
I mean, to some point, you kind of have to, you know, give patience to a coach like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but I think it's run out. I think it's not all on his shoulders, though. The board didn't help him. He kind of had an idea of how to go with the squad when they qualified, and they kind of didn't give him the players. So I think they're just kind of, you know, he's a guinea pig for not doing what they had to do. And, I mean, you're going to get inconsistencies. I will say, though, he does get results when he needs it. So that's kind of like keeping him in the seat to begin with.
Well, since you mentioned it, and then since we're on the topic of it, Jurgen Klopp's first 100 matches looked very similar statistically to Solskjaer's first 100 matches. Now, Solskjaer just recently, I can't remember which match exactly. Was it against Arsenal or was it the Champions League? I think it was against Arsenal that it was his 100th match, but he's got 55 wins, the same number just about that Klopp had. Before he then went on to greatness with Liverpool. So, well, when you look at those numbers, though, I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but you guys really think that's it? He's burned his bridges there. He's done what he can.
Yeah, because he got two losses right after those 55 wins or whatever. Right now, they just lost two in a row, and they play Everton at the weekend. Dude, it's off with his head. It's going to go down. I don't know. Manu just keeps kind of wasting time. I have seen no style of play from them.
And well, they're also low confidence.
Yeah, and I just don't know what to make of them, really.
So if they lose this weekend, you think it's done?
Solskjaer? Well, like, the thing about that game was that it was pretty, like, embarrassing, the first goal, because they're playing, and this guy is Demba Ba. Schools him twice the game.
Demba.
The game nasty, yeah. Demba, yeah. Demba Ba, right?
Demba Ba, yeah.
Yeah. He scored the Chelsea goal, right? On the slip.
Oh, man. Thank you for bringing that up. Because, the defending in that, not only is it because, no disrespect, but it's Istanbul, right? But it was atrocious. The long ball, there was nobody near Demba Ba, like you were saying. Sorry to cut you off, but he started the run in his own half, so he was nowhere near offside, and then finished it. And then the second one, all three defenders that were back there got sucked to the guy on the ball, and literally two guys were making a far post run, and it was like it was child's play, literally. It was child-like defending out there for Man United. Maguire, unconvincing, right? Especially for the money. Yeah. I know Johnny last week was calling for Axel Tuanzebe to see more action. We saw Tuanzebe, and he looked like he was finally... And understandably so, he's a little bit younger, but he was out of his depth. So, right, just like, again, I guess I'll kind of leave it at this for United. Like Johnny said last week, just when you think they have a balance and the mid looks good and you're starting to get a Rashford looking good, the defense rears its ugly head, or the defensive...
What's the inconsistency? Lapses.
Yeah, the inconsistency.
Inconsistency and the lack of a playing style from them for me. You know?
Yeah.
And then, so that's what it is. The mid, I mean, I know it's kind of bad, but it's like, you can tell it's kind of bad when even Fernandez hasn't been scoring in a minute. Only off penalties. You know? And they be getting some lucky calls, man. But
they finally got a penalty against them instead of in favor with Arsenal. Arsenal got the penalty, and it was a clear foul from Paul Pogba on Hector Bellerin, right? And did Martial get a penalty? Did they get a penalty this in the Champions League? Or no, or did Marshall score from open play? I just
Marshall remember. Scored a header.
Oh, okay. Sure. Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
It was 2-1? 3-1? 3-2? I'm sorry. I can't remember. The United game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2-1.
Yeah, they didn't have any shots against Arsenal, I don't think. I mean, like one or two.
That's what it is, that Man U just can't.
And all Arteta did was stifle that midfield of McTominay, Fred, Elneny, and Partey.
And you see, Gunner tried that game because he played the triangle in the middle.
The diamond.
Or the diamond, yeah. Sorry. So you already know he's getting desperate himself. But I agree with you that it's not totally his fault. He didn't really get the players he wanted, but there's just no consistency. Watch, something's going to happen again. And you just don't get the sense that he's going to be the guy that takes them there, you know?
Yep.
Just like a lot of other coaches in around Europe right now that we could talk about, you know?
But, yeah, like you said, when when there's no inconsistency, you're not hot. You know who else is not hot? Barcelona. FC Barcelona does not look good. They possibly just had their worst match under Koeman in this Champions League win against Dynamo Kiev. If not for Ter Stegen, who was making his first start in like 2 months, very likely could have lost this match. He kind of stood on his head for some big saves in this match, and they end up winning. Messi scores, but again from the penalty spot. Lionel Messi hasn't scored from open play. So you got to be – I'm not super concerned about it because he's still generally playing well, right? Like, his performances have been at the very least – like a 7 out of 10 in every match, right? He's Messi, right? But it is a little bit concerning that he's not getting the goals. But I think even more concerning is that other people aren't getting the goals, because in these last couple matches, they've created a ton of opportunities and just not converted them to go along with poor defending, right? So they tied 1-1 in the league to Alaves. And really, they should have won because Alaves went down a man. And they actually went up first. So Barcelona continues this trend where they start the game trailing, right, before they get a goal back and eventually win. But the goal that they gave up was hysterical. Pique made a back pass to Neto, who was the goalkeeper. Neto miscontrolled it or mistimed it. It went through his legs. And then the Alaves forward just kind of got to the ball first and literally walked it into the goal.
I think I did see that.
So, terrible lapses, but on the other end, they created tons of chances, and Griezmann was probably the most guilty of this. Missed so many chances. So many chances. And then at the end of the game, took responsibility for it. But then, they proceed to play in the Champions League against Kiev, and again, so many created chances, and Griezmann again, public enemy number one, missing a ton of them, man. I think that's it, guys. Griezmann is not hot. He's got to go. My patience with him is done. I thought I knew that it was going to be a struggle. People made fun of me because saying he didn't fit the system, right? And they're like, well, when you get paid that much money or when you get sold for that much money, you better fit the system or you're going to make the system, right? And I said, hey, give him some time. But now, guys, we've had way too much time. I think they need to cut their losses. Just like I'm over Dembele, they got to try to figure out what to do with Griezmann too, because his future is not at Barcelona. It's just not working out.
See, I would do the opposite of it, and I would say fire Koeman and start benching all these young motherfuckers and bring back Puig and start getting some rotation in that mid. Just a little breaking of the hips and get back to it. You have freaking Messi and Griezmann you need to be starting. Koeman's putting up the wrong lineups. I've talked about Barca already, but I'm done with it. Just don't expect nothing to be won this season.
Don't expect much.
Yeah, right? Don't expect nothing from them this season.
What do you think, Andres? Barcelona's not hot?
They're a work in progress. Definitely doesn't hurt when, you know, their center back situation involves De Jong playing there next to Piqué. So, I mean, that's a little...
That's on Koeman.
That's alarming, but I mean...
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I think for me, the main piece is, you know, they don't have a striker. They don't have someone kind of like in the central area to kind of float in and out, kind of like distract, pull in defenders and leave like Fati in for a wide open shot or something. But instead, you see Fati trying to score, you see Messi trying to score, you see Griezmann, Dembele just taking shots. Like, it's no real, you know, focal point at the top. Messi is just creating, but he's been unlucky. Some of his shots were pretty well taken. But I think you just have to give time to Coleman if this is who we're going to watch for the rest of the season. I think they can improve. I don't think they're regressing at all.
They're in 12th place right now, right? They're mid-table at best.
Yeah, at this moment, but I still think they can improve. I mean, they haven't lost.
That's definitely regressing, though, bro.
They haven't lost in Champions.
No, that's regressing. That they're in 12.
They haven't actually. All right, that's a good point because they've pretty much secured their passage to the next round of the Champions League already, which is interesting. They're in 9. They've got 9 points. They're perfect in the Champions League right now. Mm-hmm. They're control their fate for the next round, right? They're the team to beat.
They can still kind of figure it out on the way.
Right. Like I've said about Juventus recently, they've got enough quality individually to kind of get by. But at the same time, it is concerning, like Johnny said, about United, that identity, right? One of the things that, not many of it, there wasn't a whole bunch that excited me about Koeman other than that he had played at Barcelona before. Mm-hmm. But he said, I've worked with Frankie de Jong at the national team, and I can tell you he's being played way out of position, and I'm going to play him in where he's most effective. And now we're going on 3 straight games where this man who said that Frankie de Jong was being played out of position plays him out of position at center back. And this last time blew me because other than rotation is really the only thing I can think of, he started de Jong in center back with Longley that, on the bench, which is the center back. And then in rotation, like the 64th minute, he brings on Longley and then takes off Busquets. And then De Jong was able to move up into the center where he's more. And now that we've seen Pjanic the last 2 matches, I don't understand. Honestly, Busquets is going to have his matches. He's going to be important in some instances, but it really should be Pjanic and De Jong starting. And I think that would be solid. Everything else, they could work out. I think they've got enough talent. I think what Johnny brings up is decent. Pedri and, Trincao, they might not have enough experience, right? They might be still too raw to make a difference. But I think if they get that base right there and sort out the defense, they should be fine.
I don't think so.
I think Johnny's been a little critical of Dest, too. I think Dest has played really well, honestly, since he came on. It looks like he's been at Barcelona for a while. He hasn't missed a beat. He hasn't done anything spectacular, but he hasn't looked out of place either. My question is, can he defend? He hasn't really been put in a position where he's in under high pressure or will have to defend against, like, he hasn't had to defend against elite people yet, then I guess, other than against Juventus. But going forward, he looks like he can contribute. He's part of the, you know, that Ajax to Barcelona transition has been nice there. But just a whole lot of question marks there with Barcelona.
Don't see it.
Yeah, I'll keep my, you know, opinions reserved, but I'll give them benefit of the doubt for now.
I don't think Barca's the team that's gonna rely on that has to start 2 17-year-olds to win their games.
They're still in January.
I think that's fair. But can we agree that Ansu Fati is in? He's 18 now. His birthday was like a week. Ansu Fati has a birthday in around the same time as me and my buddy Toucan. So he's 18 now, but I agree. I mean, but he's not just your average 18-year-old. I think that's clear now.
But I don't know that Messi was playing this much either when he was 18, every game.
No, he definitely wasn't.
So I'm saying Coleman is fucking up.
Dembele, too, though, since he's been back.
They need to play him,
He hasn't looked physically bad, but you can still see that his decision-making is poor. And maybe that's not because he's necessarily decision-making, right? It's just he's not sharp. He hasn't been. You can see that he's kind of still getting into.
It just looked like he grew a lot.
To the rhythm.
It looked like he grew a lot, and he's getting used to his new body. No homo. Right? He's been looked off rhythm, super off rhythm. If Barca wants to win, I think you got to start Dembele, Messi, and Griezmann. Like, don't make it so complicated on yourself. You know how you said, let the quality of the season and the work be the base of it. and don't just be giving Pedri and Trinquao all the minutes and starting and then putting Pandzic and then subbing him out and then putting this guy in the defense and then subbing the defense and pushing him up. Like, what's all this about? You know? This is not what this is supposed to be happening. Like,
some tinkering there.
Yeah, you get your... I have seen no link-ups with the right backs. Jordi Alba looks a little old. Like, not to fuck him up.
No, he does, though. He does. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean... And Busquets needs to be benched ASAP. Like, how are they starting Busquets, Pandzic, and then De Jong as well?
To your point, Johnny, the last thing I'll say about Barcelona is...
Piqué? Piqué looks old, too.
I can admit when I'm wrong, and I still think it's too early to tell, but I think immediately Pjanic has shown what he brings to the table that Busquets doesn't, right? He brings everything that Busquets brings to the table, but he's also a little bit more... He's faster than Busquets, which isn't saying a lot, right? But he's also more mobile, right? So he's going to get around more. And that's the thing about Busquets. He's been getting overrun in the midfield. Runners are going past him, and it's those runners that are being overloading the center backs and forcing them to make mistakes or forcing them into awkward positions, you know? So I absolutely hated the Pjanic transfer, and I was like, why do you need another 30-plus-year-old midfielder? But already it looks like there's a dimension that he can bring to this team. So I'm not going to say that I've been completely wrong, but I think there is maybe a little bit of possibility there. So I'm humble enough to accept that maybe I spoke too soon when it came to Pjanic, but time will tell.
Wow.
We'll see. We'll see.
Wow,
he said. I'm going to need you to adopt the same attitude with Liverpool, but we'll get there in a second. The last not team that I want to mention.
Put the sound rougher than not.
Is, excuse me.
Not hot team.
That's a happy sound. We want a not happy sound. There you go. PSG, guys. Paris Saint-Germain and Neymar especially. Neymar, we now know, will be out for the next month. Got hurt last week in the Champions League. They lost again to Red Bull Leipzig. I keep calling them Red Bull, but they don't like that, right? It's RB Leipzig, and they beat PSG 2-1, despite the fact that PSG was up in the 6th minute off of Di Maria. And then 10 minutes later, Di Maria missed the PK. I don't know if you guys caught that one.
Yeah, I saw it.
He missed the PK, and then Leipzig came back and won 2-1 from goals. First, and ironically, from Nkunku, who spent his whole basically youth at PSG. He was just sold to Leipzig from PSG last summer, I believe. So he celebrated it and was very emotional about scoring against his former team. And then Emil Forsberg scored a penalty against our boy, Keylor Navas.
Yeah.
It should be noted, too, though, that PSG had a red card. Idrissa Gueye, I think that's how you say it. I don't know how to say it, but he got a red card. And they're just not looking convincing, guys. No Mbappe in this one either. No Icardi, I guess, to be fair. Neymar was hurt. They haven't been super convincing in the league. They've still been managing results, right? But what's going on? PSG just more, I guess, what's the phrase? Smoke and mirrors, right? Just a lot of luster, no substance, right? Are they going to make it out of this group? This group looks tricky. United can still make it out. Leipzig can make it out. Are they destined for Europa or what?
I think they're Europa bound. I didn't think they were good last season. I mean, they had the fortunate group pairing and Neymar and Mbappe finally, showed out. But without those two, unless they come back and, secure 2 final wins, but the project overall doesn't seem promising. Neymar's going to stay. Mbappe looking like he's going to leave already. They lost their star captain in the defense. So, I don't know. I don't see a team moving too far in the competition.
I would just say that they don't have enough quality overall as a team in the back and in the mid. Because they just pay. It's what we said already. They paid too much for Neymar, and he's always injured. Like, right? Every year he's been injured at least once for, like, extensive critical periods of the season. So that's a knock on him. And it's like, Mbappe has been a little bit off. But in general, I don't think the team has enough substance in, like, the mid. Like we said before, like, Herrera, Paredes, and who else do Sarabia. They have? Verratti? Like,
Sarabia, right?
They're not. Yeah, Sarabia's kind of attacking, but that's not enough in Verratti. The mid. Herrera? Yeah, like, under Herrera, like. And then they let go of Thiago in the mid, in the defense. There's mad questions. So Navas is going to have to do work himself in the back over there. I just don't. The team seems a little flat right now, too. And Mbappe's going to have to. I think they still beat RB, or they make out a group, though, somehow, you know? I mean.
Yeah, if you have Neymar and Mbappe, you still have a fighting chance, no matter.
But Neymar's not going to play, I think.
Well, he'll still play the other games after international break, I'm sure.
Yeah, he might come back for maybe the last two matches because there's one match in November, so he'll probably miss the first match back, but then there'll still be two, and those will probably be critical because the next two... So he'll probably miss the next game, which will be against Leipzig, but then he'll play against United, and that'll be important. Mm-hmm. All right.
So yeah, I think we have to wait till those games.
Is there anything else you guys want to mention in the not hot... Who's not hot? Who's cooling off? Who's cold?
Who's not hot?
Yeah.
Inter.
There you go. Hot. Actually, that's a very good one, Johnny. There you go.
Yeah.
Inter, not hot. They're going really off of a string of draws. They've been drawing like crazy. And they just lost to Real Madrid. 3-2. We're talking about PSG ending up possibly in Europa.
This is the better group.
Inter
this
Milan.
This is the most interesting group.
Yeah, Inter looks Madrid like group. They can be in the same fate because Madrid looks like they're bouncing back and maintaining their...
No, they're in the not hot item too, even though they won.
Even though they won?
Yeah.
Well, the other team, Gladbach. Gladbach has been looking impressive in this tournament. They just smashed six past Shakhtar. And let's not forget that Shakhtar already beat Madrid too.
Yeah.
So that group is interesting. I'm glad you did bring up...
this is the best group in the to keep your
Inter
eye
Milan
on.
Because Inter Milan was Andres' hipster pick last season. And it looked like they could make some progress. I actually liked they signed Hakimi, right? They brought Vidal in. I don't know necessarily about the Vidal signing, but Hakimi was definitely a good pickup. Lukaku has been firing on all cylinders. Now it looks like they'll struggle to make it out there. So, yeah, good looking out, Johnny. I'll definitely back you up on that not hot for Inter Milan at the moment. We'll see if they can recover.
Yeah.
What do you make of that, Andres? You agree with that? Or are you still fan, you're still a big Inter fan back there. I was looking for a specific term. I was trying to be clever, but I was just words.
No, I mean, last season they had a nice project to start off with, but halfway into that season they kind of cooled down and they haven't recovered in my eyes. They added some good players, but I still feel like they're missing Lukaku. If he's not on the squad, they don't really have much to like worry about. They could have beat Real Madrid if they had Lukaku, but.
They're going to get him this first game back. That's why this group is the most interesting. I guess
I still give him a fighting chance. Yeah, I still give him a fighting chance.
You know what I was bummed about was that it was the Inter versus Real Madrid game. And it was 3-2, but I thought it was so weird and hectic. Like, Ramos had to score a header, and then Benzema scored off the Hakimi mistake. And it was kind of a weird, boring match. Like, weird to say. I don't know. I didn't think it was, like... It didn't live up to the hype of, like, when I think of Inter Milan versus Real Madrid and I go to sleep, I think, like, you know...
He's saying the scoreline is flattering, too.
Yeah. But it wasn't, like, good play, really. Inter doesn't really have a clear idea if Lukaku doesn't play. You're right. That's the thing.
And, yeah.
Like, at least the... Madrid has Zidane as coach, and he's pure swag. He's not going to let you lose no matter what.
Now, the game-winning goal was an assist by Vinicius and a pretty good finish from Rodrigo, the two young Brazilians. Do you guys make anything of that? I started laughing because I already knew what Johnny's answer was.
No, I don't.
He loves these random Brazilians.
Nope, yeah.
Nope, he said nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
No news of that yet.
Just a goal, bro. I mean, two players that you probably want more connection from, but you don't. But
all right,
goal's a goal.
Well, now to talk about who's hot, because we're just about 30 minutes into the episode now, and also there's a lot of individuals and teams that are hot right now. And I'll start with the hottest team on the planet, and that is Liverpool FC. Top of the Premier League, lighting up Atalanta 5-0 in midweek. Diogo Jota, absolute difference maker since his arrival. They're playing all kinds of young center backs you've never heard of and still winning. Like Johnny said before we went on air, Mohamed Salah looks like a freaking puma out there, mid-season form. You start to get really nervous when Virgil van Dijk went down, and they haven't lost since, right? So we got a big matchup this weekend. They're playing Man City in what's become the English Clásico, right? Or the English, what are they, Derby, right? As we say in English, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I got to say, even I am a little bit surprised that despite the key injuries there, because Fabinho went down too, who is going to be essentially the backup to Van Dijk since till he was able to return, right? He's been hurt too now. Thiago hasn't been available recently too.
Yeah, imagine when he comes back.
And we've had people pick up the slack. Shaqiri's been able to come in as a substitute and dropping dimes, two straight assists, right? Alexander Arnold still doing what he does with these critical passes. From deep, even we saw for a good goal for Salah. Mane is scoring again. You got to be a little bit concerned for Firmino. He's only got two goals in like the last 20 or some matches. He's still critical to the way that they play and their style. Some might argue that he's probably the most critical, other than Van Dijk, to the way that they play. So I think the question mark that we've been asking, or the question that we've been asking amongst ourselves, is does Klopp drop Firmino to keep up this hot streak?
I'll let Andres go first.
Why me? No, I don't think Firmino gets dropped. I think Klopp kind of showed his, you know, his admiration for Firmino, saying that, look, without him, we're not even in champions. But it does kind of show you what Klopp is trying to do with champions and the league. It seems like he will rather field a stronger attacking team in champions and kind of just deal with, you know, more of like a conservative approach in the EPL, maybe. I don't know, that's what I get from it, but I mean, they're still ticking. I don't know how. They throw everything against them and they come out with a new way to surprise you, so credit to Liverpool, I guess.
This is the guy who said, I guess. The thing about Liverpool is that Klopp brings these players and he makes them into superstars. Like Jota, I kind of just did, but the thing about Liverpool is that they just have players that come into the team and get coached with Klopp, and there's an idea. I know you didn't bring up your own boy. Curtis Jones is starting in the midfield, and then Shaqiri is dumping off assists to Jota, new signing. Just now they have a front four. You can think of it like that. There's no reason to kind of discredit Firmino. And then I think, though, Jota started probably because Firmino was going to start over the weekend, you know? So I think that's why you got to start Firmino and just go with what you were going to play, you know? And if not, you know, you already got another option with Jota to bring him in right away. And, like, he probably will score, right? You won't not fancy him scoring out in the field these days with some of those finishes. And then Salah and Mane got a chip. Bro, stop it.
And Jota got the chip, too. And let's not forget, Atalanta's not a pushover. They had a few injuries, I think, too, coming into this match. But over the last year, 18 months, they've been one of the more consistent performers in Europe. So, yeah, Liverpool tearing it up. We'll see if they can maintain. Like you guys have said, big test this weekend. Another team who's hot right now, undefeated in the month of October, Chelsea, guys. Since they've acquired Mendy, the new goalkeeper, they've now got like 7 straight clean sheets.
That was 6 or 5.
It's over 5. And
they won today?
They won in the Champions League this weekend. I mean, Chelsea in general is hot, but I want to shout out in particular Mendy, because he's made a huge difference there. The other one who's hot too is Timo Werner. Timo Werner is starting to look like a difference maker at Chelsea. Looks like he's kind of gotten comfortable with his role and with the team. And he's got like 4 goals in the last 3 matches now, including two penalties. But he looks like, I think Johnny comically said a couple weeks ago, like everything that Liverpool needed, right? Yeah. But that they now got in Jota, which ended up working out, I guess, for them. But either way, Mendy, Werner, we're starting to see Ziyech.
He had 2 goals.
He's got goals now. Yeah. It doesn't sound like it should make sense, but Silva and Zuma look like they can be a decent partnership. They've been a part of this clean sheet streak. So yeah, Chelsea stays hot. They did have the surprising draw to Southampton 3-3, which was a little bit concerning. But since then, it's been all clean sheets pretty much. And they had the draw 0-0 to Sevilla. But other than that, it's been all W's and a lot of goals. So it looks like Lampard is starting to find out some consistency and some balance there, as like we like to say.
Is our boy still on the team? My favorite player, straight.
Giroud?
Yeah.
Yeah, Giroud.
Dude, I want to see him out there. It's crazy that, yeah, Chelsea is hot. They're a hot team now. They got 3, like, wins in a row, like 3-0, 4-0. They're getting goals from all their new players and forwards. Because even Havertz, like, he debuted and he scored. So, Lampard kind of always gets away with this quietly just getting results. It's weird. Kind of, Chelsea have kind of put themselves right in the mix for contending. And then even for going far in the Champions, because they low-key have a decently depth team. They have a lot of defenders. They don't have a lot of quality defenders, but they have a lot of players in general, you know? James, Abraham, Giroud, Pulisic, yeah, Mount, Conte, Kovacic, they got a young squad. Jorginho. Yeah, you see, they got a young squad, so ready to kind of tear expectations if Havertz and well, you see, like the what Frankie said, Werner's already been like.
I'm glad you brought killing up it. Havertz too. Kind of a random little thing, but he just tested positive for COVID. I read today.
Damn.
So he'll go into the COVID protocol. The second wave is crazy, guys. A lot of players are getting, again, Cristiano failed 3 tests. And I guess that's a pretty decent transition, because I was going to say Cristiano Ronaldo came in hot, guys. His first match back.
Oh, yeah, he's hot.
His first match back, and he had 2 goals. In true Cristiano fashion, one was a PK, right? But the other one was pretty good run and finish from almost midfield. So he comes back and is in just regular Cristiano form, right? The other shout-out I want to give it to Juventus in their orange camo uniforms that they love wearing recently.
Yeah.
Morata, guys. Morata's been on a little tear, too.
Yeah.
Alvaro Morata, it seems like Andres likes to use, in his case, seems to find some confidence, found some comfort in his role at Juventus. And he scored in the Champions League, in the league. I believe he's got 4 in the last 3 as well. So looks like that can be this. Is that who you guys would go with up top? Does Pirlo go with the top 2 of Morata and Ronaldo? Because Dybala had 2 goals in the Champions League as well, but they were like the most poo-poo goals like ever. Both like goalkeeping mistakes.
Yeah,
like he was literally in the 6-yard box. I won't even give it say the 18. He was in the 6 when the goalkeeper fluffed his lines twice.
Like just gave him the ball.
He couldn't even believe his freaking luck on both cases. So he's been kind of out of form. Maybe these 2 goals give him some confidence. I don't know. He had a goal over the weekend, I think, as well, but I personally think that Morata and Ronaldo could be the way to go forward. I think Pirlo has said that he wants to play all 3 of them, but I don't know how. We saw last year that it couldn't work with Higuain, right? Mm-hmm. Granted, Higuain and
it didn't work with Higuain.
And Dybala are 2 different players, right? But we'll see. I don't know. Because in theory, that can be a pretty crazy three-pronged attack, right? But I don't know. Because, again, that's another team I'm not completely sold on. I don't think they should be playing a back three. And I think it's worth noting, too, that in this Champions League match, they played a back four. He played Danilo at left back and Cuadrado at right back. So I don't know if that's the path going forward. I don't know if Alexandro is hurt or what, but what do you guys think about the potential starting attacking options for Juventus? Some might argue that their problems are actually in midfield, right?
Yeah, probably.
But who would you start for attacking-wise?
You got to think Ronaldo, right?
Obviously. I mean, I think that's – I'm sorry. Let me change the question. Who would you play alongside Ronaldo? Play the three or do you play just one more?
I mean, I think I kind of agree with you, Frankie. Yeah, you play with just Morata in that old school. He's going to take up the front and kind of like decoy defenders, and then Cristiano can get the space off him. Whereas Dybala has to create kind of and gets in his way. So it kind of doesn't work because Cristiano's like, he needs to just be quick in the box. Now he can't be like taking the ball and taking everyone. So I don't know. I'm not convinced on Juve either.
I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced on that 4-3. If it were to start, I think they have question marks all over the field. And
didn't Bonucci leave injured the last game? That's definitely facts.
That could be big for them.
I'd rather see consistency, and maybe if like everyone starts scoring and there's like mass goals by Ronaldo, then you know they're all clicking. But I don't see that right now.
Well, their league is so easy though that you can guarantee that they're gonna be in it, and they're gonna have enough time to try to figure it out and still be competitive in the league, you know?
It feels like Juve, all they're concerned about is champions, so that's the real test right there. They definitely do have to get some bounce wins. Against Barca or someone.
They're still favorites, though, to win their league and then just get by in champs somehow.
Elsewhere on teams that are favorites and getting by and maybe not entirely convincing but still hot, Bayern Munich. They won again in the league. Lewandowski just doing what Lewandowski does. But it was
kind of close. What do you mean not impressive?
Well, here's the thing.
They have to.
This last weekend, it was just 2-1 against Cologne, I believe. Mm-hmm. FC Cologne, which isn't necessarily a powerhouse, you know? And then the scoreline doesn't suggest it, right? Because it finished, what, 6-2? But Salzburg made it difficult for Bayern for at least 50 minutes to an hour. Salzburg was having – it was 2-2 at one point, if I'm not mistaken, right? Or maybe even Salzburg took the lead. But regardless, you don't expect the Austrian champion –
yeah, they did take the lead.
– to pose any problems like they did. Regardless, they overcame.
And they tied.
Joshua Kimmich, Johnny pointed out, is in stellar form, doing everything for Bayern, from taking corners and providing assists that way to scoring goals.
Through balls to Sané.
Yeah, no, Kimmich is amazing. He had a nice little assist for Sané, too, and Sané got a nice goal in this game, too.
Yeah.
Mueller got a goal. They played they started Tolisso and Kimmich in the midfield, and then brought on Javi Martinez. Now, Tolisso and Javi Martinez aren't guys that you thought would start, right? But they were able to rest Goretzka and still get the result. So Bayern, while maybe still grinding it out, they still stay hot. And like we've said many times in the past, that's the mark of champions, right? Sometimes you got to win ugly. Sometimes you grind it out. And they continue to do that with players like Sarr. I don't even know the guy's first name. I'm sorry. But he's playing there. Again, Javi Martinez, I almost kind of forgot, was at Bayern Munich. But he's like their record signing, if I'm not mistaken. Or was before Lucas Hernandez, right?
Yeah.
He's, you know, found a role and made himself useful again. And Tolisso has been coming in and making himself useful and scoring screamers. It's just strength to strength from Bayern. As much as I want to nitpick and be, like, again, picky, it's hard to. to try to pick at them right now.
Yeah, they look amazing. Just if they were to play Liverpool right now, that would be a game to behold. Or City, which City was supposed to play them last Champions League, but they lost. Nasty.
Yeah, I think they look a little flat sometimes because they already know the quality of their squad versus anyone else. So I don't even think they even bother, you know, getting out of first gear. So, but I mean, like, look, they were down and they brought in some fresh blood, and you had difference makers like Sané, automatic goal assist, you know. So.
Yeah.
And Lewandowski, really, more than anything. And Mueller's criminally underrated, right? I mean, yeah, when you take stock and really look at all the pieces, it's really quite impressive, right?
Yeah, they have so many options everywhere, and they just don't stop attacking.
Yeah,
like, quite scary. Literally, they don't stop. And then even Davies is out, and they still have the depth to cover for him, you know? So...
A couple quick hot shout-outs before we kind of wrap up the show. Real Sociedad stays hot, stays number one in the league. David Silva looks like he's bringing some experience and some magic to that team, guys. Again, I'm not getting excited, and I'm not saying Sociedad is going to win La Liga. But they look like they could really cause some problems and potentially finish top four there. So big shout-out to them. Because Sociedad and Athletic Bilbao are a big deal in Spain. They're the Basque teams, and that region is very passionate about, you know, their culture and about their soccer. So that's cool to see. And Sociedad, again, it's a historic team. So hopefully they can maintain, right? Because Villarreal is up there too, another kind of historic or big player in recent modern Spanish football. So it's good to see them hanging around up there. I don't really want to spend too much time asking you guys, because I know you guys are kind of poo-pooed the Spanish league right now. But big shout-out to them for maintaining. Also, quick shout-out to Atletico Madrid. Currently, I think it's sitting in third or fourth, but they're sitting on two matches. They've got two matches at hand, and it looks like they could potentially start to go on a run there. So keep your eye out on La Liga, because things could get hot there in the top four with Madrid in second again after maybe finding some consistency there. Anything you guys want to add about Sociedad? You guys surprised?
In Mexico, right? That's what his name is.
Yeah,
in
I think Frankie just wanted to shout out David Silva.
Yeah, man. El Chino, he's the boy. Legend. Legend for Man City and Valencia, but more for Man City.
Andre's favorite team.
Yeah, right? And I guess since I brought it up, we'll stick with Man City. KDB, Kevin De Bruyne, has been hot, man. But, I mean, I feel like at this point, it's almost not even, not that it's not worth mentioning, but that's what you expect. You expect him to come in there and just play powerfully. The way that he passes the ball, guys, is so unique, because not only is it really precise, but I think what really takes me aback to watching some of his assists is how powerful that those passes are. Like, he's always got the right, like, you know how you get the little power meter in, like, FIFA, right? When you charge up your passes and everything. Like, his is always, like, spot on perfect. Like, he's so precise. And yeah, no, I mean, I really can't say enough about
which works the City's style, because they all have pacey wingers, you know, waiting for those balls.
Honestly, he's probably gonna be like the biggest difference maker on that team. Like, the way that he goes is the way that they go. And I mean, I'm not saying that he's injury prone, but there have been spells in the last two seasons where he's out, you know, a month or so at a time, right? And if that happens, I think this year especially, it can be critical for City. And again, no disrespect to Phil Foden, no disrespect to Bernardo Silva, but they're not going to fill in his boots right now in that
team. No, yeah. I think that's like the same thing as, you know, Liverpool losing Henderson in the last season. He's that critical to the team. It kind of keeps it ticking, and he's turning it up in champs, you know. I think last season his most dominant criticism was that he didn't show up for Champions League, you know, that when they lost. So I think now he kind of has this chip on his shoulder, and, you know, he's trying to play to win.
And he's healthy.
He's healthy, so let's hope he stays healthy.
Yeah, because he's about the only shot that Man City has to win this Sunday. Because if he doesn't lead the team to win, They're just not gonna win.
No chance.
I'm sure he'll be the best player on both midfields tomorrow on Sunday. So I'm not worried.
Yeah, because is Aguero gonna play?
He might, but most likely, yeah, Jesus.
So it's a with crazy game. Mahrez, I know.
And Sterling probably.
I know. I was talking about it earlier because it's like it's a big game in the season, and now I'm gonna talk mad shit about Man City because they can't defend. It's gonna be a crazy game. This is one of the biggest games of the year, I think. It's the new Clásico for me. I was saying, like, this game gets me excited to see, and it's crazy that it should be good. I'm expecting some good football from Klopp and Pep going toe to toe
again.
Yeah, again on Sunday. Like, it's gonna be crazy, dude.
I think I'm excited because Pep finally has, you know, a back line that he kind of trusts. So he kind of rested them over the week, midweek. City haven't been
giving up goals, but they have.
They've been racking up clean sheets. So I'm feeling pretty good about going up against that Liverpool attack.
Yeah, right. The last hot I want to mention is Erling Haaland. Haaland had another two goals, I believe, right, in the Champions League. In Dortmund's victory. He scored off the bench when they won this weekend. I think it's very clear that if Haaland is out for Dortmund, they're in some deep shit, right? Because, again, no disrespect to Marco Reus, no disrespect to Jadon Sancho, Torgan Hazard, any of those guys, right? But nobody can do what this kid is doing right now, right? And I think it might be too soon to tell. It was ironic that Andres said it earlier, but on the same day, ESPN dropped an article on how Erling Haaland could probably be the best player on the planet, right? But he's very, very clearly a unique talent. He's got it all. He's got the size. He's got the speed. He could finish with both feet. His movement is great. This kid is hot. He gets in there, and anytime he gets in there, you can bet pretty much that he's going to score.
His finishes are some of the craziest too, you know? Like, straight kills it, you know? Like, vicious shots into the box.
And he's 20 years old, right?
Yeah, merciless.
Yeah, he has 13 Champions League goals in 11 games. I think it took Ronaldo maybe, like, 20 or 50 games and Messi, like, 30. So, he's going to break all those goal-scoring records. I'm pretty sure.
We'll see. Yeah, he's a beast. He's the exciting to see, yeah.
And I think even more exciting is that he's getting on this roll when Dortmund plays their most important match of the season this weekend. Der Klassiker, boys. It's that time again. Bayern versus Dortmund this weekend. Yep, it's on Saturday.
See? Yeah.
See?
And
damn.
Guess what? Not only is Haaland...
We're drinking beer.
Not only is Haaland hot, not only is Bayern hot, but both of these teams are tied for first place in the Bundesliga on 15 points right now. So it's going to be a good one.
Weekend.
If there's two matches that you got to watch this weekend. It's that one, Der Klassiker, and then Man City versus Liverpool on Sunday. And then I guess one quick honorable mention, Leicester City, under the radar, is second place in the Premier League right now, guys. They did this last year and kind of tailed off before they finished in the Europa spots, right? Did they finish in Europa? No, right? Am I making that up?
They're in Europa right now.
Yeah, Leicester, yeah.
They played today.
I'm not going to lie. They've got some good players, and they look like they might have, you know, a little bit more solidity under – is that a word? they're solid under Rodgers, but we saw this last year, and they tailed off. So I'm not going to lie. I expect them to tail off at some point, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't get props for what they're doing, right? Madison is back, and he's their number 10. He's a difference maker. Jamie Vardy is, again, habitually one of the most underrated players in the Premier League, doing what he does and just keep scoring goals, scored again. And in a match that I thought was going to be close, Leicester pretty much handled Leeds United on Monday. So keep an eye out on that team. They've got, again, some good individual pieces, right, like we've already mentioned. They got Vardy, Yuri Tielemans, the Belgian player. James Madison is one to watch. What's that one kid? Harvey Barnes. apparently is a pretty nice little player there. So yeah, watch out.
They won 4-0 in Europa today. Iheanacho, I think, has like five goals in two games.
You just mentioned Kelechi Iheanacho, a name I never thought we'd mention on this podcast.
Yeah, he has five goals in two games for them.
Holy shit. Kelechi Iheanacho. He used to be at Man City. He's a Man City youth product.
He was good, man.
And then Pep got him and sold him. Mm-hmm. He's been on the bench with Leicester City ever since.
But he's been hot for them for Europa, so that's good going forward. Also, someone that we didn't mention was Benfica. They got a nice little role in Europa. They beat Rangers in a really crazy game.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So we were watching the highlights for that, and they were showing the goals, but it was out of order. And I didn't know that they won, because didn't they get a red card in that match, too?
Yeah, it was a 10-man Benfica who beat Rangers. That's Rangers crazy. Was winning, like 2-0 the whole game.
That's crazy. I did not
and
know that.
I think Darwin had the winner. They have a lot. Benfica has a lot of players that they're going to sell and eventually become, like, EPL household names, but they got a nice little squad for this year.
That's what the Portuguese teams do, though, right? Yeah. That's what they do. So now we get to the closing portion of the show. We'll make our quick unofficial picks for this weekend. And again, this weekend has got three really notable matches that I want to highlight. One in the Bundesliga that we just talked about, one in the Premier League that we just recently talked about, and one in Serie A that I didn't mention, but is a pretty intriguing one. So for this weekend, and actually, before we make our picks, I want to make one last not hot. You know who's not hot, boys? We'll bring it to this part of the world. We'll bring it close to home. Las Chivas de Guadalajara are not hot right now.
Wow.
Damn, you're going to do me like that live on air.
Yeah, they fucking suck. And not only that, they got players in escándalos. Four players this week were separated from the squad, and we now know from the owner, from the general manager, they'll never play for Chivas again. One of them was outright fired, Dieter Villalpando. The other three are now on the transfer list. All of this stemming from these guys partying and being reckless while COVID was going on and breaking protocol. But finally, the straw that broke the camel's back and the really, I guess, crazy one or the current scandal was they went to go party after they beat Atlas. For those of you guys not familiar with Mexican soccer, Atlas versus Chivas is the Clásico Tapatío. It's the derby for Mexico's second biggest city, so it's pretty important locally. Chivas won, and then all of these players that I named, I didn't name them all, but all four players went out and partied when they weren't supposed to. They get busted, and to top it all off, Villalpando gets accused of sexual assault at this party. So Chivas trying to maintain their good name and their reputation, disassociating themselves from these teams, from these players. And it sucks because, again, they weren't doing so hot in the league. It looks like they might be able to squeak into Liguilla, but they're the one out of Mexico's big four that's not near the top of the table right now. So just had to point that out just because it's crazy. Sexual assault, breaking COVID regulations.
It's nothing new in Mexico, but Chivas has turned into a party team where They just pay motherfuckers to play
and party.
And they just get man buns and dye their hair and then go be like, in their head, they were thinking, like, damn, this is a home game against our arch town nemesis. This is Bella for sure tonight. You know?
Sure.
They're like, we don't even gotta take the bus, right? They're like, if no one drive, everyone just gonna go to the bar after. So
it's kind of drive.
I think they're still making Liguilla, though, on the low ski. So fuck Frankie and Cruz Azul and America, too, and all these other teams. But Peláez is fucking up, too. I think he needs to get out of there now.
Yeah, no, there's clearly a fractured relationship between the board and, or I guess, you know, the higher-ups and the first team there at Chivas, so. Back to our picks. Serie A's got two pretty interesting matches this weekend. Atalanta versus Inter Milan will be on Sunday. Both teams wear black and blue. Both teams have been pretty good in the recent history. Who do you guys got in that interesting matchup against Conte versus Gasperini's clashing styles there?
It's a close one. I don't know. I think any team might kind of pull away with it. Because Inter at least has a team that can kind of handle the Atalanta's type of style. Or they're like, they're kind of like each other's anti, whatever you call it. Like
the kryptonite.
Yeah,
kryptonite.
Yeah, I think Inter is a good defensive, slower team with Lukaku. Hold up. If he's going to play?
I don't know. He might still be hurt.
If he,
they'll probably play with Martinez up top.
I think Inter might just come up with it for no reason in my head. Atalanta, they just lost, so I don't know. But it was a bad loss. It wasn't like they... No, they had a... Duvan kept post like once or twice, but I'll go Inter just because...
I'm going to go Atalanta. I just think Bounce their back. Play style... Yeah, I think just the way that Inter played Real Madrid says a lot about, you know, the way they're trending.
I think they're going to draw, boys. Atalanta's got a few injuries. They're coming off a very busy week. And Inter has been completely unconvincing to me, and they're coming off a string of draws other than this Madrid loss. So I think they stay true to form, and we get a draw there. The other intriguing one in Serie A this weekend, Juventus versus Lazio. Lazio drew in the Champions League against Zenit St. Petersburg yesterday 1-1. But over the weekend they had a crazy match against Torino in which they won 4-3. It was back and forth, back and forth. And again, we're seeing 7 goals in a Serie A match. I had to do a double take. I was like, what the fuck is going on? But they won and now they play Juve this weekend. Who you guys got?
I think the quality of Juve, even on, you know, days when they're not connecting, will probably win them a lot of games.
Who are they playing?
Lazio versus Juve.
Lazio. Is
Immobile up top?
Immobile playing?
Oh, Immobile, for sure. Yeah. All day.
I like that game for Lazio. I'll go Lazio. They got my boy Correa. And in the mid, they got a decent squad, bro. I like that team, too.
I'm going to go draw again, boys. Steady draws in Italy for me this weekend. Again, Inter, Juve hasn't been entirely convincing. Lazio has started a little bit slower than they did last year, but they've still got some really, really good pieces. Pretty much the same team that got them into the Champions League spots last year. Again, the trump card or wild card, I won't say trump card because – it's politically charged times here during election cycle. But I think, you know, the wild card is Ronaldo, right? At any given moment, Ronaldo could step in and win the match single-handedly, right? But I think we can go. It'll most likely go draw for me. For me. Then on Saturday in the Bundesliga. Did you pick, Andres? Did I give you the chance to pick?
Yeah, I got to pick you there.
All right, my bad. In the Bundesliga this week, Der Klassiker on Saturday. I believe it's at noon. Might be at 12:30. All I know is I remember that time because I'll be at work, so I won't be able to fucking watch it live. But you will. You might be. Who you guys got? Both teams are tied for first place at 15 points. Lewandowski versus Haaland, if you want to call it that. What do you guys think the result's going to be?
I almost want to go draw, but I think I'll go with Bayern. Because they're the better team. And we've seen this one before. It's going to take something amazing from Haaland or Sancho for them to win. Because in the mid, I don't know if you can rely on this guy. What's his name?
Witzel.
Witzel's your best defensive midfielder, and he's not even that great defensively. They got some pieces in the mid. If sometimes it feels like they're too attacking, you know? Because they'll be like, Reyna is out there. Haaland is out there. Royce or Brandt is out there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who the fuck is defending on this team? And then you're like, Hummels. Hummels is defending. And they're just
kind of... They need...
You know?
Yeah, and yeah. He had 2 goals. Not only is he defending, he had a brace over the weekend. And then I think he got hurt, too. So I didn't think he played in the Champions League.
I think Bayern can break him down and kind of... Lewandowski's too much, man. And then you got the killer Mueller just scoring. He always celebrates the same, right? He scores and then he just yells. He just like yells around and waits for everyone to look at get to him. He's like, no extra running on the boy.
I'm a student of history, and recently Bayern has been steamrolling by Dortmund. And as much as I want to pull for Dortmund in these matches always, they keep biting me every time I pick them. They always get smashed by Bayern. So I'm going to go Bayern.
Oof,
I think Haaland can and will probably get a goal, but not enough.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I got Bayern. Probably going to start. Yeah, probably going to start Sané, and Sané will probably be the difference.
Clean sweep. All right, and then the big one for us this weekend, and probably for everybody, this is probably the biggest one on the slate. Sunday, it's an early one, 10:30 in the morning, but it's worth getting up for, everybody. Drink your coffee, set your alarm, do whatever the fuck you got to do, but you don't want to miss it. I think Johnny's right in saying that this one could already have big implications for the title race, because like we thought, I mean, it's definitely going to be closer than it was last year, but already we're seeing inconsistencies due to too many matches, due to COVID, whatever you want to say. This one could be the match where Liverpool start to separate themselves from the pack. We have Liverpool versus Manchester City. Yeah. Who do you guys got? I'll start with you, Andres, since you went last on the other one.
I'm going to go Manchester City. I don't think that's a surprise.
2-1, right? That's what you think?
It could be a little close. It could be a blowout. I mean, these teams will probably be able to do both, but I'm not too convinced with Liverpool's defense. I'm not too convinced by whatever they're going to play in the mid. I'm not too convinced with City's clean sheets either. It could just be, you know, lucky three, and then they get dropped, you know, six by Liverpool. Who knows? But they're both coming in good form. And I just have a little bit more faith in Kevin De Bruyne showing up on a big game and making a difference.
Johnny?
Yeah, I'm going Liverpool for sure. Well, it should be, regardless, this is the game to see, and I think it should be, I don't think there'll be a tie, you know? And I think it'll be a good game, and I want to say Liverpool's going to win somehow. They got Alisson at the back. And he's making up for not having Van Dijk. The team is in form.
Yep.
And I think they're going to...
Tell them.
Yeah, it's going to go crazy.
Look, we started the show with Liverpool. We're going to end it with Liverpool. And damn it, they're going to stay hot. They're going to win. They don't have a set center back pairing. It doesn't matter. They're playing Curtis Jones in the mid with no, you know, Thiago.
No Thiago,
it doesn't matter, right? Firmino isn't scoring. It doesn't matter. Liverpool is still fucking winning. They're going to win. I think it'll be close. It won't be like a 3-0, right? But we're going to see something like what we saw this time last year, right? It was like a, was it 2-1 or 3-1? Where Fabinho opened the match with probably his 3-1. Most important Liverpool goal to date, right? It's going to be something like that. But yeah, I got Liverpool.
Liverpool are also notoriously bad at the Etihad, so just something to keep an eye on.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. All right, well, that brings it to... I'm forgetting how to speak English here. That brings us to an end. I'm really struggling with words right now. Thank you guys for tuning in. We had at least 4 people pretty much watching the whole time live. So shout out to Dead Caesar, the boy. Sorry about your ears there. Shout out to everybody else who was watching live. I'm pretty sure Toucan, the boy, was watching live. Anybody else, if you haven't, give us a like. Subscribe to the Full Heel Network because a lot of cool shit goes down on the Full Heel Network, guys. Just in the last week, we had a UFC fight card. We had Halloween Havoc. From NXT and classic Halloween events kind of reviewed by the boys here at the Full Heel Network. So continue to subscribe and check into those events. And yeah, we'll see you same time next week. Watch those matches. And thanks once again. Stay healthy. Fuck Donald Trump.